Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today. Hey guys, turkey season is in full swing right now, and if you are planning on getting after it, make sure to pick up some Meat Eater Phelps turkey calls to stuff into the old turkey vest or into your fanny pack right now. I carry a few different things. I like to use mouth calls, and I like to use pot calls. Mouth calls or diaphragms, I like them because it gives you hand-free calling, meaning when you're working a bird up close, you can have your gun on your knee, finger on the trigger, ready to roll, and still be making turkey sounds. I like pot calls because I just like pot calls. I enjoy calling with a pot call. Whatever direction you go, including a box call, which I don't personally use too much, but they're fun and great, and I started out with them. Yanni, on the other hand, one of my main turkey hunting buddies, he loves box calls. And what's funny is I'll now and then look to him and give him the look that means get out your box call and find us a turkey. So it's not that I don't like him. I just have Yanni use his. Then I don't have to carry it. Go to Phelps Game Calls. Get calls that are made in the USA and get calls that'll get them close. Find yours at PhelpsGameCalls.com today.
It's a Meat Eater Podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Neuwirth, and today we're joined by many special guests, including Brandon Butler, Brad Cape, and Phil Yeomans. Am I saying that right, or did I mess it up again?
That is correct.
Awesome. All right. In addition to them, we also have Steve, Corinne, Brody, Giannis, and Sean.
Well, I'd like to point out, Brandon Butler's been on the show many times.
Yep.
Several times. People would know, would recognize, people that listen to the Meat Eater podcast, would his story about turning in some poachers and then in retaliation having his home burnt down.
Pat Durkin has written about it twice on themeateater.com, covered the story.
And introduce our other fellas here because you guys have covered that.
That's right. We also have the Wyoming Corner Crossing victims, two of the three of you, correct?
Four.
Two of the four of you. What happened to the other two guys? Why couldn't they make it?
They couldn't make it. They had prior obligations.
Now, Brandon.
Maybe they're too good at trivia.
That's right. Brandon, Brad, Phil, how you guys feel about trivia?
I've got a stack of Trivial Pursuit games in the corner at home.
Really?
Ooh. I get them at like the Goodwill
the fishing
and
game
garage
edition.
Sales. It's one of my like garage sale look for things.
Sure.
Can we play partners?
I don't know why I got my glasses.
Yeah. Now, if you're not familiar, this is a 10-round quiz show with questions from our four verticals.
Can I one more thing?
Yes.
Yanni brought up a great question while we were making 19 pounds of meatballs for a 4-H event yesterday. Uh-huh. And when you're frying 19 pounds of 1-inch meatballs, you got a lot of time to talk.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. It was one of those deals where I feel like Steve's mind was somewhere else because I'd like ask a couple questions, I'd get an answer or two, but it never would go anywhere. And it'd be quiet for a minute or two, and then I'd be like, well, what about in trivia? You notice that we haven't had a person have a clean sweep and win and get every question right.
No, we have. You're sitting in the room with him.
We had a perfect game. Yeah. Oh, we think that a perfect game should you get a $1,000 donation.
We could retroactively do that. Yeah. I think that was even during the $100 days.
Yeah, it was early. Oh, no, early
that's not
days
retro. I didn't know he played a perfect game, but I think if you get a perfect game, it's $1,000.
I don't
well,
know about,
congrats,
about Sean sitting over my shoulder here. I need some folders to put up.
I would feel
you can trust him.
I would feel as though I failed the podcast if I allowed another perfect game. I think then I don't have good trivia.
Challenge accepted.
That's right. I like it. We can do that going forward. $1,000 if you pitch a perfect game. Now, again, these questions are from our four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking, and there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 or $1,000 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. So far, we've had Steve win 6 times. Brody win 4. Giannis win 2. Clay said,
"Have you done the math yet?"
No. So here's the problem.
Are you not doing it?
I vow to you that it will get done.
Okay.
The problem is, I have to go back and listen to 12 podcasts that are 30 minutes each.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do. Because
it's not a better way to do it than that.
Here's the problem. We tend to get to the end of the show, and when Phil gives his updates, he's only giving updates for the people that are in it. So I want to figure out who's getting. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it thoroughly.
Okay, great,
we're going to get how many questions everybody in the room gets right. So we're going to do this right. I may even need to get some listener help. If you want to help me out and help me keep a spreadsheet for this, email trivia@themeateater.com. If I have you go back and listen to an episode and figure out the winner and who got what right, I'm going to march over to our merch room. I'm going to grab you a box. It may have binoculars in it. It may have a t-shirt. It may have a water bottle. And I'm going to send that to you for helping me appease Steve and get everybody's score and
what
stats.
What should their subject line be?
Just send the email there. We'll figure it out.
I think people should also send one in where the subject line is Spencer can suck
you're
it.
You're saying, Spencer, you're not
just
gonna,
see how many come in.
You're not going to do it by game. You're going to do it by question.
We will go by question. We'll get stats like
I like it.
Brody averages 5.7, right? Giannis averages 6.3. If we're gonna do this,
I love
this.
It
is gonna look like a baseball box score when we're done.
I love it.
We have to know which player is good at which vertical too. Like Yanni's 75% in conservation.
Wow.
That'd give people you could have a whole show where people put suits on and argue about the trivia stats.
That's right. So this I'm certainly going to need listener help now. Email Spencer can suck it to trivia@themeateater.com.
And it'll be to help Spencer.
That's right. Now we have some housekeeping to get to. On a previous episode of Trivia, our guests may not know this, but I named Missouri as having the greatest game agency logo in America. Well, recently.
That wasn't like a trivia question. That was just you saying that.
It was a trivia question. I declared it the greatest game agency logo. Then I showed it to the room, and you guys had to figure out what state it came
from. But I mean, you were just clarifying that you wouldn't ask a trivia question like, who has the greatest? You were just observing.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, we had Missouri Department of Conservation District Supervisor Lieutenant Kevin Eulinger reached out and thanked us for that declaration. He said it brought him a real sense of pride, and as a token of his appreciation, he sent us 10 logo patches that were worn by Missouri conservation officers in the line of duty.
Hmm.
Thank you, Kevin. Now, the real cool thing about these patches is that not only do they look good, like it's a digital file, but when you put them on a t-shirt as a patch that someone wears, it looks just as good there. Not everything translates well from digital to the physical world, but these look amazing.
Yeah, it does look great.
So,
I'm going to make one of these for Brandon, but I'm going to take a lighter and kind of burn the, kind of char the edges up.
Oh. Dark. Steve's going dark.
So, thank you, Kevin. Also, on a previous episode of Trivia, I asked what the 5 countries are that have polar bears.
Back into this again?
We got another thing to address here. A few folks in the room said Antarctica, which is incorrect because it's not a country and it doesn't have bears. Now, this inspired about 5 people to write in and point out that the name Antarctica actually translates to no bears. Here's what they mean. The name Arctic comes from the Greek word arctos, which means bear. And the ant at the beginning of Antarctica is supposed to be anti, as in the opposite of. So, Antarctica means the opposite of the land of bear. Now, the explorers who named it that weren't referring to physical bears like polar bears, but instead they were talking about the Great and Little Bear constellations, which are only visible from the Northern Hemisphere. So although they were talking about space bears, it actually works with polar bears as well. And now you'll always remember that neither one exists in Antarctica.
I don't remember this. I was probably very excited about having gotten it right, but... Are you telling me that people in this room put down that Antarctica has polar bears?
I'm telling you that people did that, and then you even them.
Are they employees here?
We have one person in the corner.
Oh, I don't care. If Corinne did it, that's fine.
We also had a couple of our guests at the time, Cam and Rihanna, that said that.
Because
so.
I would have to go, HR would have to pay these people a visit.
Corinne?
This is why I stopped playing.
All right, let's keep moving.
And with that, we are on to Meat Eater Trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Game on, suckers!
Question one, the topic is conservation, and as always, it is multiple choice. This first great question comes to us via Derek Stamey. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, send it to trivia@themeateater.com. Which of these is not one of the five tools of wildlife management listed in the 1949 book, A Sand County Almanac?
Hold on, back up. Say that again.
Which of these is not one of the five tools of wildlife management listed in the 1949 book, A Sand County Almanac? Is it axe, cow, water, or gun? Which is not one of the five tools of wildlife management in A Sand County Almanac? Again, your choices are axe, cow, water, or gun. So three of those are a tool, and one of them is not. How do you feel about this one, Steve?
50-50.
I'm feeling 50-50, too.
I got a little That's trivia. Not easy. I got a little trivia for you, Spencer.
Okay.
What year was most of that book written?
Well, I would say 1945.
No, it was written in the 20s.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Why didn't it come out until so much later?
Because it was all his, basically, it's his collected writing.
Now, how many folks?
Observations over years and years.
How many folks in the room have read that book? Wow. Okay.
You never read that book?
That's like
no, I read the book.
I was like, give me a break.
So about 80% of the folks. All right, does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal the answer. We have Steve saying cow, Sean saying X, Brandon saying cow, Brad saying cow, Brody saying cow, Corinne saying gun, Phil saying gun, and Giannis saying cow.
Now, every three words Leopold uses was axe.
The correct answer, which nobody got,
no,
is
it's water.
Well, he's wrong.
Oh, I wasn't even paying attention.
Here is Leopold's famous quote from the book. The central thesis of game management is this. Game can be restored by the creative use of the same tools which have heretofore destroyed it. Axe, plow, cow, fire, and gun. So he never mentions water. I don't know if we've ever had an offer on the first question before.
No.
Multiple choice usually gets somebody.
It's easy too. I remember going
to anyone's game.
I remember someone was talking about desert bighorn recovery.
Uh-huh.
And he was saying usually wildlife recovery in the desert comes down to water and money.
Mm.
And he was talking about a certain spot, but he goes, in this spot, it's just water.
So they have the money, they need water.
Yeah. You know.
Question two, the topic is fishing. This type of rig, which is popular among bass anglers, is a finesse fishing style that involves hooking a soft plastic through the middle of the body. This type of rig, which is popular among bass anglers, is a finesse fishing style that involves hooking a soft plastic through the middle of the body.
Did you know that he used to be a competitive bass fisherman?
Who did?
Brad.
Yeah. I felt as though our Missouri folks are probably some bass anglers that may have a good chance.
Yeah, he'll throw you like not two bones, but he might throw you a bone.
I like that.
Yeah.
I can handle that.
Does everybody have an answer? We had some quick answers there.
Yeah, I quite cockily.
Okay.
I've even fished this rig, but I can't remember for sure.
Again,
Brody's looking at me like staring at me.
This type of rig.
We crushed the smallmouth on that lake by your old house.
Which is popular among bass
anglers. No, you're thinking of the wrong thing.
No, I'm not.
Don't touch your board.
Does everybody have an answer?
Yeah, let's go.
Go ahead and reveal. We have Steve saying wacky, Sean saying wacky, 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 Brody saying Cinco.
I'm ahead of Brody.
Corinne, what are you saying? Corinne without an answer, Phil saying jig, Giannis saying Carolina.
I'm ahead of Brody.
The correct answer is wacky or Nico. Cinco is not correct, but a Cinco worm is what you would traditionally use on a wacky rig. So you were on the right.
Remember,
right,
Brody, last time we played, bro, you were ahead of me early and I whooped you. So
Brody,
don't lose.
You're right. Going back to just not talking about it.
Too late.
Usually a wacky rig is fished without weight, making
with a Senko.
With the Senko. But you could also use it with a creature bait or any of the other soft plastic.
And Senko, isn't Senko like a, it's a specific product?
Yeah, that's like Gary.
Yamamoto.
Yes.
Yamamoto?
He made those. Now, Wacky or Nico. Usually a Wacky Rig is fish without weight, making it the ideal setup for catching shallow bass near docks and weed lines. And because Wacky Rig baits have so much action on their own, they require very little rod movement to get bites. Now, is that what Giannis was referring to that you used on the lake?
No, he's thinking of, what's that call where you got the hook tied directly into the main line?
Drop shot.
He was talking about drop shotting.
I'm impressed you got, like, such a hardcore bass question right.
Dude, I guarantee uh-huh. I've caught more largemouth bass than you have.
That's fine. Okay. I'm not debating that. Question
three. I grew up on a largemouth bass lake.
That's great.
Yeah.
The topic is conservation. The extinct dodo bird was only found on one island in what ocean? Again, the extinct dodo bird was only found on one island in what ocean? Corinne, how do you feel about this one since you have the trophy game piece that has a dodo bird on it?
I'm not quite sure.
Okay.
I'm not totally sure.
One more time. The extinct dodo bird was only found on one island in what ocean? Does anybody know this, or is everybody just taking a guess?
Yes.
I can't remember the name of the island, and I don't know where it was.
It makes it tough.
Well, I thought long and hard, and I have an answer that I'm not embarrassed by.
Does everybody have an answer?
Yes.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Atlantic, Sean saying Atlantic, Brandon saying Indian, Brad saying Pacific, Brody saying Indian, Corinne saying...
Not
Galapagos, Phil saying Pacific, and Giannis saying Indian. The correct answer is Indian.
Oh, Brody's
tired. We had a few people get it right.
I thought you had to give an island.
No. We're just looking ocean. For what the ocean.
Ocean the island.
Brody ties her up.
The species was discovered by sailors about 600 miles east of Madagascar in 1507. And less than 200 years later, the last dodo died. They were driven to extinction through over-harvesting, habitat loss, and the presence of invasive species like rats and pigs.
That's another one where my homunculus knew. Because there was like a voice somewhere in my body was like, Indian Ocean, Indian Ocean. But I was like, nah, it was the Atlantic. It just looks like a more, like a warm, colder sure. weather bird when I look at him.
Wonder if you could call him in.
Not anymore.
No.
Dude, have you a slow ass hunt now, bro? It's like, didn't see shit again.
Question four, the topic is biology. And this question comes to us via Brandon Colgazer. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, send it to trivia@themeateater.com. Besides whales, there are only two animals with ivory in North America. What are they? Besides whales, there are only two animals with ivory in North America. What are they? We need both animals.
Oh, both.
Both of them.
I feel like it should be one of, dude.
I've got questions about
I'll get
this
neither.
One.
A lot of folks thinking
is it,
hard.
Is it like a kind of like a trick element to it?
Yeah, say that again.
Besides whales, there are only two animals with ivory in North America. What are they?
I want to ask a question, but I can't. You wouldn't answer it anyway.
Can I confer with you outside for a minute?
No.
Can I confer with you outside?
You can ask, Brody, you can ask your question and I'll tell you. I'm not going to tell you anything. Or you can just not ask.
Here's my question.
I feel like I'd give too much away by
asking
the question.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Does everybody have an answer?
And I'm going to be mad if...
I'm leaving what I had. I'm leaving what I had. So if I'm wrong, I could be like, but I'm kind of right.
Then walrus. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying walrus and elk. Sean saying elk. Brandon saying elk and the ivory-billed woodpecker. Brad saying walrus and elk. Brody saying walrus and elk. Corinne saying elk and narwhal, which is a whale. Phil saying elk and walrus. And Yana saying walrus and elk. The correct answer is elk and walrus.
Hey!
So you guys did very well.
So what about the narwhal?
That's a whale.
Yeah, that's why I
said... You said animal. And is a whale not an animal?
Besides whales.
Oh, God, I never listened to the whole question.
I know, that's the problem I have.
It was literally the first two words, besides whales.
Yeah, yeah.
There are only two animals.
I miss a lot by talking. And the other thing is, that's why I wanted to confer with him, to be like, how nitpicky are you being on what's a whale?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other animals with ivory include elephants, hippos, narwhals, orcas, sperm whales, and warthogs. Thanks to a 2016 U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service law, it is now actually harder to buy ivory from any of those animals than it is to buy ivory from an extinct mastodon. Hmm. If you go on eBay and you're trying to, like, buy ivory, you can find all sorts of listing for, like, mastodon, but nothing from those other critters.
Do you know that I want to go find out what's up with it, but did I tell you about the dagger my dad brought back from World War II that he got in North Africa?
That's way cool.
It's got a big ivory handle on it.
And I think you can still
know what it is.
You can still barter with those or sell them. It's pre-1972.
This is an old ass thing, but I just want someone to look at it and see if they can tell what kind of ivory it is. It was enough of a deal where he brought it home with him. He's trying to bring a Tommy gun home, but couldn't.
I have a book on my desk that maybe would help out. I'll give that to you. Yeah.
Question five. We'll get a scoreboard update from Phil after this. The topic is public lands. In 2019, Busch Light did a promotion where they gave a lifetime supply of beer to someone who found their pop-up bar in the Mark Twain National Forest, which is located in what state? Again, in 2019, Busch Light did a promotion where they gave a lifetime supply of beer to someone who found their pop-up bar in Mark Twain National Forest, which is located in what state?
Can I get a bonus point if I know what his real name was?
No.
No. Phil gets a bonus point. Does everybody have an answer, Brody?
Yep.
What do you got, Brody?
Just staring at my answer, hoping it's right.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Missouri. Sean saying Missouri, 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 Missouri. Crin saying Arkansas. Phil saying Missouri. And Giannis saying Missouri. The correct answer is Missouri.
I know somebody that went to it.
Yeah, you know what I think we should
do? Lauren Plunkett.
If I can name what town he was born in, I get a point.
You can tell us the name, but we will not give you a point. What was it?
Hannibal, Missouri.
Hannibal.
That promotion was a disaster.
Yeah.
Because apparently Bush only planned for a few hundred fans to show up, but got a few thousand instead. One person I interviewed back in 2019 told me that they took a vacation day and drove 14 hours to find the bar. And when they did, all they got was one single warm beer. Another attendee I talked to said they saw someone pass out from heat stroke on the hike there. But the good news is this. Bush ended up planting thousands of trees and donating thousands of dollars to the National Forest Foundation. So cheers to them. Now, did you guys attend that at all?
I know somebody that did.
And what was
Brad,
their feedback on it?
Exactly what you said. It was, everything was gone by the time people got there.
Brad tried to corner cross his way in there.
He didn't go because it was a straight line.
Yeah, right. There wasn't no corners.
Phil, hit us with a scoreboard update.
Yes, we have Corinne in third place with 0 points. Excuse me.
Eight.
Tied for second place, we have Phil and Sean with 2 points. And then tied for first, 5 people. We have Brad, Brandon, Brody, Giannis, and Steve.
Halfway through the game of trivia.
Wow. This happened to us last time we played. But a winner emerged. Hey guys, turkey season is in full swing right now, and if you are planning on getting after it, make sure to pick up some Meat Eater Phelps turkey calls to stuff into the old turkey vest or into your fanny pack right now. I carry a few different things. I like to use mouth calls, and I like to use pot calls. Mouth calls or diaphragms, I like them because it gives you hand-free calling, meaning when you're working a bird up close, you can have your gun on your knee, finger on the trigger, ready to roll, and still be making turkey sounds. I like pot calls because I just like pot calls. I enjoy calling with a pot call. Whatever direction you go, including a box call, which I don't personally use too much, but they're fun and great, and I started out with them. Yanni, on the other hand, one of my main turkey hunting buddies, he loves box calls. And what's funny is I'll now and then look to him and give him the look that means get out your box call and find us a turkey. So it's not that I don't like them. I just have Yanni use his. Then I don't have to carry it. Go to Phelps Game Calls. Get calls that are made in the USA and get calls that'll get them close. Find yours at PhelpsGameCalls.com today.
Question 6. The topic is foraging. This next great question comes to us via Dave Kalashek. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, send it to trivia@themeateater.com. Ostrich ferns produce edible fronds that are more commonly known as what?
What?
Ostrich ferns, like the bird in ostrich, ostrich ferns produce edible fronds that are more commonly known as what?
Steve, you should pay Spencer more. I've known Steve now for, it's coming on, I'm like a month or two away.
I don't know where this is going. What Spencer makes.
I'm a month or two away from knowing him for 10 years and working with him for almost as long. 10 years.
No. You think you knew me?
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, keep going.
Okay.
I'm trying to think right now.
I feel like he's stalling for you.
Can you repeat it one more time?
No, he's distracting me.
How do you not know this answer?
I do know the answer.
I just don't know it. This very important thought from Giannis, and then I'll repeat the question.
I know it, but I can't remember.
Giannis is getting at the old stump Steve thing, I think. No, right?
You guys got to shut up.
All right, one more time. Ostrich ferns produce edible fronds that are more commonly known as what? That homunculus is working real hard over here.
No, he doesn't know. I'm listening for him.
He's not.
He doesn't know.
The homunculus doesn't eat plants.
It's up to the main me to find out. But I know what it is.
I've been with Steve through a lot of experiences.
Stop.
Come on, call it, Spencer.
Does everybody else have an answer?
I'll save my comment till after we. You got it, Steve.
No, I don't. It's not it.
Go ahead and reveal your answer. Steve doesn't have an answer. Sean doesn't have an answer. Brandon saying eggs.
Brody got it.
Brad saying
mushrooms.
Brody saying fiddleheads. Corinne saying follicles. Phil saying Brussels sprouts. And Giannis saying fiddleheads. The correct answer is fiddleheads.
Nice work, Giannis.
Fiddleheads are sweet and crisp, making them a great option for sauteing or roasting. If you want to learn how to cook them and find them, then check out our article at themeateater.com called Four Delicious Plants You Can Forage in Spring.
You got to cook them, right? They make you sick if you don't?
I don't know that, but I would imagine you'd want to cook them anyway. Now, Giannis, you had something very, very, very important.
Dude, I was eating fiddleheads and you were lapping
milk. Steve should pay you more.
Because okay.
I've seen Steve through a lot of highs and a lot of lows over the last 10 years. And even through, watching Steve play trivia, he's as happy as killing a 200-inch buck, as happy as having, like, brand-newborn babies around.
Wow.
Yeah,
happier now.
Yeah,
happier now.
He's so excited. Was he this happy when we were just recording for 3 hours talking about corner crossing?
Not at all.
No.
And he's not even winning. We're on to question 7. The topic is nature. This person who has more than 20 plants and animals named after him, narrated the documentaries Planet Earth and Blue Planet. Again, this person, who has more than 20 plants and animals named after him, narrated the documentaries Planet Earth and Blue Planet. You know it?
I complain about him all the time.
Oh, okay.
What's that?
You've heard me complain about it.
I think that he should hang it up and they should let somebody else take a crack at it.
One more time. This person who has more than 20 plants and animals named after him narrated the documentaries Planet Earth and Blue Planet. Does everybody have an answer? Steve is doing some more writing.
That was my initial bit of writing.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Sir Attenborough. Sean saying Attenborough. Brandon saying Morgan Freeman. Brad saying
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
He's not right.
Brody saying Richard Attenborough, which is Attenborough's dad.
He's not right.
I think it's his dad.
I think it's his brother.
Oh, brother, okay. Corinne saying David Attenborough. Phil saying Peckins. And Giannis saying Attenborough. The correct answer is David Attenborough.
Oh, I had the D in front of
Yeah, you're good on D. I'm good on Sir because he's Sir David Attenborough.
He is.
Brody is wrong.
He is wrong. All
right, then. Sean's right though because he didn't specify.
Yeah, just Attenborough would be good enough.
No, that's not good enough.
No.
That is acceptable in Jeopardy.
But he's not right.
No, he is not right.
if he gets Attenborough,
he gets that.
Yeah, yeah. You'd have done better by less. More with less.
All right. I've had enough of this.
His most recent documentary is the 5-part series Prehistoric Planet on Apple TV. I binged it last week, and it's genuinely one of the greatest things I've ever watched. If you or your family is even remotely interested in dinosaurs, you need to watch this show. It's so damn good.
I get a little burned out on that guy.
You need to watch Prehistoric
Planet. He's like, whale. He very much reads to the edit, you know?
Yeah, it's like a whisper.
Like a narration. Whale show up. Whales.
It's great.
No, it drives me a little bit nuts. I'd rather have my kid narrate it. My kid be like, oh my God! Look at that whale!
You should watch Prehistoric Planet and just put it on mute, and then your kid can narrate it.
That is good, dude.
Question 8, the topic is fishing. Catadromous fish spend most of their life in freshwater, but go to saltwater to spawn. And there is only one catadromous fish in North America. What is it? Catadromous fish spend most of their life in freshwater, but they go to saltwater to spawn. And there's only one of these fish in North America. What is it?
Brody, did you write cockley?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
It looked like it. But your mic was kind of...
We're tied. So
I know, but your mic was blocking... Brandon's mic. So I couldn't see if you were writing cockily.
Mm-hmm.
Or sure just was. Writing.
Yep. Very cockily. Almost used all caps.
He's got an exclamation point.
I want to know if for the next game, any of you boys want to get in on a little Calcutta before we start.
Oh, I'll do a side bet any time.
Every time.
All right.
We should just have a running pool.
I also think we should do an episode where are you guys familiar with the show Drunk History?
Yeah.
We should do one of those, but for this.
Yeah.
But oh, Steve doesn't drink anymore.
Does that involve us drinking?
No, I mean, I'd do it for that.
Oh, there you go.
I just have Kylie schedule my hangover. It'll be like, the next day, I'll be like, Steve, hangover.
Yeah, but
eight to five.
You need 2 days. You need 2 days for a real hangover.
Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answer. We have Steve saying American eel, Sean without an answer, Brandon without an answer, Brad saying the king salmon, Brody saying the American eel, Corinne saying Chinook salmon, Phil without an answer, and Giannis saying American eel. The correct answer is American eel.
Is Giannis winning?
No. We'll get a scoreboard update in a second. Catadromous fish make some of the most extreme migrations in the animal kingdom. The best example is an American eel that was caught in southern Minnesota in 2017. For that fish to end up there, she likely made a 4,000-mile journey from where she was born in the Atlantic Ocean.
They spawn in the Sargasso Sea.
That's right.
And it's a free-cast egg. Just drifts. And then it turns into like a thing called an elver, and that drifts around. Eventually, he gets big enough for locomotion and hauls and goes to the American coast.
Yeah, it's they've like tossed one of the idea around of listing them
because
They're doing pretty badly in some areas.
Yeah, one of the most mysterious spawners. Biologists still know very little about how the whole thing works. Phil, hit us with a scoreboard update. We have two questions left.
We do. We have Corinne Schneider with 1 point, Phil with 2 points, and then tied for third place, we have Brad, Brandon, and Sean all with 3 points. Tied for second place, we have Brody and Steve. And in first place, Giannis Patelis.
Oh.
With how many?
6 points.
We've
been here before.
How many questions we got? Two more?
Two questions left.
Oh, boy.
The topic is cooking.
Oh, Yanni. Yanni's a pretty good cook.
Spoon University said Mexico's most popular sandwich is best described as if a taco and hoagie got married and had a baby. What is it? Again, Spoon University said Mexico's most popular sandwich is best described as if a taco and hoagie got married and had a baby. What is it? Giannis, you seemed confident.
Yeah, he goes to that taco truck all the time.
Which taco truck you like?
They don't have it there anymore. I don't know where they moved to. That red one that was in front of the booth.
Oh, yeah, I saw it the other day.
There's one on 7th.
It's on 7th. They moved it over to 7th.
Mm.
Yeah.
The Belgrade Taco Bus.
It was doing good business.
Top notch.
Yeah.
Brody, how you feeling about this one?
Not great, but I think I have a shot.
Steve, how you feeling about this one?
Man, I ate one not long ago.
Yeah, you
did. I can't remember what it's called. I mean, I kind of got it. It depends how lean it he's feeling.
I can even tell you what meat you had on
Mountain
that.
Mountain goat.
Yeah. That's going to give a lot of tips.
One more time. This is Mexico's most popular sandwich, and it's best described as if a taco and hoagie got married and had a baby.
I'm writing my letters so you can't really tell what they say. Then he can be like, so I can argue a variety of like things here, man.
Does everybody have an answer?
Oh, is it?
Oh, Steve is scribbled. He is erased. He's thought of something else. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying, what does it say? Say it in the mic.
I think it's like something like sopas, but I had totopas.
Said sopas. Brandon saying chalupa. Brad saying chalupa.
Oh,
Brody saying
bitch,
torta.
Got it.
Corinne saying burro. Phil saying a peanut butter and jelly. And Giannis saying a torta. The correct answer is torta.
All right, Giannis.
There's no catching
Look
him now.
You. If you want a great recipe,
right,
I got it right.
Oh, so you could catch them.
I could.
I hope you catch them.
If you want a great recipe for a torta, we actually have two of them on themeateater.com. There is a mountain goat torta from Chef Kevin Gillespie that uses
Which
pinto
beans. Which can
be made
beans, with any meat on the planet.
Avocado and queso, and a fish torta from Chef Lucas Leaf that uses refried beans, pickled jalapenos, and chipotle mayo.
Now, I'll give you a hot tip.
Let's hear it.
When making those refried beans, you should never buy refried beans. You buy the pinto beans, get some bear oil or oil. We hadn't used bear oil, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing can taste the difference. But and then just mash your own beans up in your own oil. It's so much better. And so easy.
Yeah, and both of those recipes explain how to do that in detail. It's easy.
I can't win, so I'm done.
On to question 10. We have Brody and Giannis left. Now, what we need to happen to go to overtime is for Giannis to get it wrong and Brody to get it right. Is that right?
That's correct.
The topic is hunting.
How many career
oh,
wins?
Oh, boy.
Oh, Giannis only got two career wins.
Giannis didn't really start playing until 2 weeks ago.
I'm kind of pulling for Yanni because Brody's like my nemesis and everything.
According to Boone and Crockett, America's top 10 biggest Canada moose were all killed in two states. Name one of them.
Say it again.
According to Boone and Crockett, America's top 10 biggest Canada moose were all killed in two states. Name one of them.
E-Z-E-Z.
Giannis, how you feeling?
You were saying
that? From all the way back there in third place.
Giannis, how you feeling?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. We need him to feel worse than that. Brody, how you feeling?
Well, I'm confused by the question.
There's nothing confusing about the question. That's weird. I'm confused that you're confused.
That's easy for you to say because you're not going to win anyway.
I'll read it one more time, Brody. According to Boone and Crockett, America's top 10 biggest Canada moose were all killed in two states.
Gotcha. Just it was me not listening again.
Name one of them. Does everybody have an answer?
Can I look at a map?
A lot of writing from Brody.
When you read my answer, can you say competing for second place?
Okay. Go ahead and reveal your answers. Just competing for second place. Steve says Maine. Sean says Alaska. Brandon says Alaska. Brad says Alaska.
That's
Brody
UConn
says
moose.
Montana.
That's Shiras.
Corinne says North Dakota. Nope. Phil says Alaska.
UConn.
And Giannis says Maine.
He's right.
The correct answer is Minnesota and Maine. So Giannis
Yay!
Wins. Well done, Giannis. What'd you get? 8 correct?
Wow.
I don't know.
That was an authoritative Yanni. Victory.
Yeah.
I just read a thing about how they, in a portion of Montana, like they were confused as to whether the moose were Shiras moose or Canada moose, like the ones up in northeastern Montana.
Wow.
Good job, Yanni.
Cool.
Yanni's third career win.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well done.
Don't forget, I want a picture with my with the trophy and my and as I'm taking Steve's little
peg out.
Little peg out and putting mine in. I want to give it to Howl.org.
Howl.org, what do you like about Howl?
I just feel like they in the world right now where we're getting hammered by so much like anti-hunting stuff, those guys seem to have really simplified. Like, hey, here's what's going on, and here's how you can help out very easily. Like, I even will take the time, not always, but sometimes just follow the few clicks and links and go and, you know, send the letter to whoever they're wanting you to send it for. But it's just very simple, and easy to follow along with, you know, the things that are, you know, coming against the hunting community.
So it's a nonprofit where, called Howl.
Yeah.
Now, Giannis, you have really diversified your winning. I think every time you've won, you've given to somebody else.
Yeah. And is that bad?
No, that's great. Keep it up.
Congratulations, Giannis, Johnny.
Well done.
Well Thank done. You.
Ladies and gentlemen, Giannis Patelis.
Two away from the perfect game. Brandon, Brad, Phil, thank you guys for joining us. Next time, we'll have more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
If I had remembered Fiddlehead, would it be a showdown right now? I can't remember how bad I lost.
He's still a little lost.
Oh,
still
no. Lost. Oh, okay. That's how authoritative.
I lost fair and square.
He tied
him brooding. I lost fair and square.
Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today. Hey guys, turkey season is in full swing right now, and if you are planning on getting after it, make sure to pick up some Meat Eater Phelps turkey calls to stuff into the old turkey vest or into your fanny pack right now. I carry a few different things. I like to use mouth calls, and I like to use pot calls. Mouth calls or diaphragms, I like them because it gives you hand-free calling, meaning when you're working a bird up close, you can have your gun on your knee, finger on the trigger, ready to roll, and still be making turkey sounds. I like pot calls, so I just like pot calls. I enjoy calling with a pot call. Whatever direction you go, including a box call, which I don't personally use too much, but they're fun and great, and I started out with them. Yanni, on the other hand, one of my main turkey hunting buddies, he loves box calls. And what's funny is I'll now and then look to him and give him the look that means get out your box call and find us a turkey. So it's not that I don't like him. I just have Yanni use his. Then I don't have to carry it. Go to Phelps Game Calls. Get calls that are made in the USA and get calls that'll get them close. Find yours at PhelpsGameCalls.com today.